ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Miss Judy, make sure you're taking your meds this morning. Mr. Ronnie, thank you for your phone call yesterday. It meant a lot. And may God bless you and your family and your words this morning. 859-381-1313 if you'd like to call in and join in on the conversation. You can email the show anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And you can chime in and follow us on Twitter @bottomlinelex. True story, our esteemed program director, Sean C., he talked to me this week before the holidays. And he was very kind, and he was saying, "Hey, Brad, I know it's the holidays. I know you've got other things going on in your life right now that you're taking care of. So we could chalk this Sunday's show up as a Christmas holiday, and you could take the week off if you need to." I said, "No way. The Big Blue Nation, they're going to need a comforting voice after a loss to Louisville takes them to 1-6. And Sean C. replied, "Yes, when I think of you, I think of a comforting voice for the Big Blue Nation." So welcome to the Bottom Line here at Lexington, Kentucky, home of the best 1-6 basketball team in America. On today's show, who needs basketball when you have college football this week? We'll preview Kentucky's bowl game against North Carolina State, as well as the college football playoff games. And of course, the most profitable segment of Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, coming off yet another profitable week. All this and much, much more here on today's edition of the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. But first, 73 days. I grew up on a farm in Madison County, and there were many days when I would try to come up with diabolical plans to try to escape farm life. Because it was hard. It was difficult. It wasn't a whole lot of fun either. And when I was a kid, I would always complain about having jobs on the farm and having to endure certain things for a period of time. And my old man, may he rest in peace, would tell me, "Boy, that's nothing. You could stand on your head for that long." And that didn't make me feel any better. Not at all. But that was his way of telling me to shut my pie hole, stop complaining about the situation because we both know it sucks, and get to work. Well, the University of Kentucky basketball team is going to have to stand on their heads for the next 73 days after a 62-59 loss at Louisville yesterday. By the way, if you follow us on Twitter @BottomLineLex, we did a brief handicap of this game where we told you to take Kentucky getting 4.5 points yesterday. We didn't say take Kentucky because we thought they were the better team and they were going to win the game, but because they were getting value. If this game had been played a month ago, Kentucky would have been favored by 4.5 points, and it's all about value. And we even quoted the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase, "Everybody's got a price." I'll take anybody if they're getting enough points. And by the way, Calipari may be 1-6 straight up this season, but he's 3-4 against the spread, and he's the best coach in America at going under the point total. He's 7-0. Nobody's better. He's cashed more tickets. He's made you more money. Mainly because his guys can't shoot, but I digress. We'll get to that soon. So make sure to follow us on Twitter @BottomLineLex for our game day handicapping advice. That is if you like being on the right side and picking winners. If you like losing and having your book point and laugh at you, then don't even bother. But back to the subject at hand. What's the significance of 73 days? In 73 days, the SEC tournament is scheduled to begin in Nashville. With the COVID, who knows if that date will stick. But as of now, the SEC tournament will begin Wednesday, March the 10th of 2021. The good news is that it won't be 2020, right? But now, Kentucky basketball has 73 days to figure things out. In other words, figure out who their best players are and what their rotation is and get ready for the SEC tournament. Why? Because yesterday's loss sent Kentucky to 1-6, and with only one remaining non-conference game, and that's a late January game here at Lexington against Texas, a game Kentucky would be an underdog in if it was played today. Barring a miracle on conference play, this team has no shot at an at-large berth for the NCAA tournament. As of this morning, Ken Pomeroy, the Lord and Savior of college basketball analytics, projects Kentucky will finish the season with a 10-15 record after going 9-8 in the SEC. That doesn't count the South Carolina game that was postponed this week, and they'll probably try to play that later on. That's much nicer than the ESPN BPI that says Kentucky will finish 9-16 while going 8-9 in the SEC. And the percentages of winning the SEC regular season title for Kentucky, according to ESPN, 0.2%. 9-16, 10-15. This was a team ranked in the top 10 in the AP preseason poll. This is a team with a Hall of Fame coach. This is a team with the number one recruiting class coming into this season. And now they're projected to finish 9-16 or 10-15? Needless to say, this season has been a disaster. And here comes Cal yesterday right out of the box at his press conference after the game, saying two things. Losing stinks, and he was an idiot and could punch himself in the face for putting together such a tough schedule. Don't worry, coach. Plenty of people in the Big Blue Nation can help you with that punching in the face stuff, but that's another story for another time. But a tough schedule? Richmond and Georgia Tech equals a tough schedule? Richmond just lost to Hofstra this week. Georgia Tech lost to Georgia State and Mercer. Yes, Ken Pomeroy has Kentucky, their schedule, as the 17th toughest in America. 17th! Not the toughest in NCAA history, as Cal would lead you to believe, and what he is using probably as a cop-out. And let's look at some teams that have played tougher schedules than Kentucky this year. Illinois has the 13th toughest schedule. They're 7-3. Gonzaga has played the 15th toughest schedule. They're the number one team in America. They're 7-0. West Virginia has played the 16th toughest schedule. They're 7-2. So Cal sitting there whining about this schedule is disingenuous, because 16 teams have played a tougher schedule according to the numbers. They aren't 1-6. And the SEC schedule will bring that 17th ranked schedule down, that's for sure. Only two of the seven opponents that Kentucky has played have been ranked at the time of the matchup. But one thing we've learned this year, you could count in the coming years on a revolving door of cupcakes coming to Rupp Arena. There is no way Calipari will play these Power Fives in non-conference games unless he's forced to do so. So going forward, yeah, he'll play Louisville. He'll play the Champions Classic and the CBS Sports Classic. He'll play those because Kentucky gets a big payday for those. Otherwise, it's take me down to Cupcake City, where the grass is green and the opponents are pretty. But this time, it isn't that bad that they're playing a tough schedule. They're just a bad team. They're poorly constructed. Let's just be honest. They're poorly coached this year. And these players aren't as good as the recruiting experts told us. And I'm starting to worry about Calipari mentally. Not only did he have to send a player home this week for reasons that may or may not be what we heard about in the media, but he's having a tough time dealing with the real world. Why do so many child actors struggle as adults? Because they were stars and now they're not. It's tough. Calipari is dealing with going from arguably the best program in America to 1-6. Most people wouldn't deal with that very well either. And if you want to compare them to child actors, I didn't just compare John Calipari to Screech or Urkel. But those guys were cashing a lot of checks 25 years ago, and today they're broke and bitter. I'll bet it's tough for them too. Heck, Screech stabbed a guy, went to prison. Google it, kids. The point is, it's tough to go from the top to, well, not the top. But we actually agree with our friend John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader, for once. This season is on Calipari. This is a 1-6 team, and when they take the court next Saturday at Mississippi State, although there's rumors of a cupcake game this week, Lord knows they need it, it'll be 38 days since they've won a game. How many NCAA tournament teams do you remember that went 38 days between wins during the season? It doesn't happen, even in a pandemic. This team is 1-6, the worst start in the history of the program, and they just lost to Louisville for only the third time in the last 14 games against them. If you're Kentucky, it's okay to lose a game at Louisville, regardless of the year. Louisville's no dynasty this year, but they lost last week by 37 points at Wisconsin. But they did have the best guards on the floor yesterday, Louisville did, and it wasn't even close. The only problem I had with Louisville was their little nerd dance that hit social media after the game. Guys, you're celebrating a win over a 1-6 team. Come on, act like you've been there before, but I digress. For the first time in the Calipari era, it seems like the better players don't get to play as much. The three leaders on this team have played BJ Boston, Terrence Clark, Devin Askew. But the best players by the numbers have been Isaiah Jackson and Davion Mintz. Guys who are the least talented are playing well, Toppin and Mintz. But the stars are playing horribly, and Calipari sticks with them. Boston gets to miss a lot of shots, while others don't even get the chance to miss shots. It's hard to watch this team. They can't score. They can't shoot. Ken Pomeroy has this team 82nd in offensive efficiency. They make 4.3 three-pointers a game. That ranks 327th out of 357 teams. And they shoot 25% from three-point land, also 327th in the nation. And you expect this team to turn it around at the flip of a switch once conference season starts? It's not just one guy, it's a lot of guys. They can't shoot free throws either. They rank 248th in the nation in free throw percentage. Even yesterday, Davion Mintz, who hit four out of six three-pointers, although the rest of the team hit 1 out of 11. Yet down the stretch, Mintz didn't get a shot in the final 3 minutes when the game was on the line. Mintz and Jacob Toppin were the only two players that played well yesterday. All the others were lousy, especially Olivier Saar, who got the call for the final shot despite being 0 for 3 from the field to that point because Calipari said he had faith in him. Oh, that's brilliant. Like we said last week, faith might get you to the pearly gates in the next life, but it ain't going to cash tickets in the desert in this life. The last three possessions with the game on the line yesterday, Askew threw up a desperation three, a play for Saar who didn't have a field goal in his last two games. Why did he do that? And a three-pointer for Boston, a guy who's shooting 15.6% three-pointers this year. While Mintz, a guy who had scored 19 of the team's 59 points yesterday, just stood there. But what really has the Big Blue Nation in uproar this morning, and I find it very interesting, is the miseducation of Dante Allen. Not Lauryn Hill, Dante Allen. Here's what Calipari said yesterday about Allen not playing. I told Dante to be ready to go if Terrence Clark can't go. I thought about putting him in each half. I wanted to play him in the first half, but I didn't. And then I didn't play him in the second half because I didn't play him in the first half. He'll have a chance, though, but it just wasn't tonight. Really? That's some of the most cop-out, flawed logic I've ever heard for not playing a guy. Or the losing has just made him lose his mind. It's one or the other. Calipari's 1-6. He's saying things like, if you aren't in the top six or seven players, then you don't get the same chances because that's what John Wooden said back in the 40s, and the game hasn't changed that much over the decades. Oh, that's just wonderful. That's exactly what you want to hear. Just come out and say you don't think the kid's good enough to play. That's more honest than whatever that spin we just heard was. So Big Blue Nation is now in an uproar. Why is it this Dante Allen kid, who's actually from Kentucky, why isn't he playing, or at least given a chance? And you know what? The Big Blue Nation is right, for once. He can't be any worse than some of those guys that are out there playing 30 minutes. And Calipari has proven in the past, he doesn't like playing guys who can shoot the lights out, but aren't as strong defensively. If they miss a shot, he gives up on them right now. But it's like the backup quarterback in the NFL. When the starter is playing lousy, the backup is the most popular guy on the team. But where the Big Blue Nation is missing the boat is that if Dante Allen played 30 minutes in the next game, does that cure everything? Does Allen get 20 points a night if he plays full-time? Maybe he does. And maybe the man he's guarding gets 40. It's right for the Big Blue Nation to wonder aloud why Dante Allen isn't playing. But it's a mystery that even Murder, She Wrote or Magnum P.I. couldn't figure out. The Tom Selleck Magnum, not the new guy. But even if Big Blue Nation gets their way and Dante Allen plays, does that really turn this team around? Nope. But it sure would be nice to see him, or anyone, get a chance on this 1-6 team. Because the best players just aren't their best players. We heard all summer long, Boston, Clark, Saar. They've been terrible. Clark's hurt right now. Then why is he playing? He had 0 points yesterday. Boston hasn't had a good game yet, and yet he's still projected to be a lottery pick. How? He's a freshman. I remember when I was a kid, Rex Chapman, I'm sure all of you know about his struggles and issues in the last few years. Well, when he was a freshman at Kentucky, all I heard my friends would always say, Rex Chapman's the greatest player ever. They'd go out one night and get 26 points. He looked like the best player ever. The next night, he'd go out and get three, and my friends would all say, well, he's just a freshman. Well, that doesn't really fly today. Starr hasn't hit a field goal in two games. These stars, who we all said were stars before, using that term very loosely, they're not performing. And in today's game, the worst shot in basketball, that 16-19-foot shot. Either take a step back and shoot a three, or go to the basket. Yesterday, Kentucky was 0-for-9 in those 16-19-foot shots. So not only are they taking bad shots, they're not even making them. Remember during football season when we said Kentucky was wasting a lot of talent on their offensive line? And they were. Talent that was going to be in the NFL next season. Well, this basketball team is a waste of a lot of talent as well. And in a year like 2020, when they changed the SEC scheduling rules in football to expose a team like Kentucky for what they are, this town needed this team, this basketball team, to be successful. They aren't. And Calipari is desperately trying to find a cupcake to fill in the schedule this week so they can claim they're 2-6, because we all know 2-6 is a whole lot better than 1-6. Well, not much. So let's look forward with this team now. Even if this team goes 14-4 in the SEC, that makes them 15-10 with a game against Texas looming. Are you banking on a 14-4 SEC team with this bunch? Neither am I. With all those losses, can you salvage a season from the most disappointing start in the history of the school? Do you have faith in this team? I don't know how you can. They're 1-6. As of now, the next game will be next Saturday in Starkville, Mississippi, with Mississippi State. Ben Howland, the coach at Mississippi State, been there a little longer than we think he has, and it's never going to really figure out why he left UCLA in the first place, why they got rid of him. But now he's at Mississippi State. But one thing we've learned about Howland at Mississippi State, it's never smart to go against him out in the desert. Since getting to Starkville, Ben Howland cashes tickets overall 56% of the time, 84 up, 66 down. And he's even better at home. In games in Starkville, Howland's team covers 65.3% of the time, 47 up, 23 down. That's very good. And we've gone over Calipari's road woes against a number in the desert many times on this show. So the trends favor Mississippi State, obviously. The coaching side, anyway. Ken Pomeroy says Kentucky will win this game 67-66. Notice the low number of total points scored and the fact that Calipari is the best coach in America this season, 7-0 at going under the point total at the desert. If Kentucky is favored to win this game, which it looks like it'll be a toss-up at this point, do you feel like investing your hard-earned money in a 1-6 team in a conference game to cash your tickets? If you do, you're a better man than I am, because I can't do it. But anything can happen in the SEC, and maybe John Calipari and his team can stand on their heads for 73 days until they try to cash the only available ticket to the big dance they have this season, having to win the SEC tournament in Nashville that begins in 73 days. Can they stand on their head that long? That's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor coming up after the break. More college basketball and college football playoffs bowl season. A great time for contrarians like us. We'll address all those, including Kentucky's bowl game this week. But first, Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Outdoor Superstore. They had their grand opening way back on Black Friday and Thanksgiving. Boy, that seems like a long time ago. They opened to rave reviews, and their Christmas sale still going on this week, even though Christmas is over. They've got all kinds of equipment and apparel for the hunter and fisherman in your life. I was in there a couple of weeks ago. Their virtual archery practice range was up and running in full force. Incredible to watch people practice their archery there. There's still a tent outside with post-Black Friday and post-Christmas sale bargains as they're overstocked for the holidays. So go see our friends at Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Outdoor Superstore, 3 miles south of Fayette Mall. That's Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Outdoor Superstore, 3 miles south of Fayette Mall, and tell them the bottom line sent you. More college basketball and the college football bowl season after the break, right here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. I like a good Tears for Fears song back in the day. About 85. Yes, I was alive in 85. Hey, that's a rhyme. I'm a poet, don't know it. Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Sunday morning. I get a lot of messages on the text machine here and the social media. Yeah, doesn't sound like you're a very comforting voice that you said you were for the Big Blue Nation. Hey, I'm sorry. We're just telling it like it is here on the Bottom Line. It's what we usually do. So, yeah, truth hurts sometimes. We're not like those fanboys across town that says, oh, everything's going to be okay. Well, no, it's not. You're 1-6. I don't know how you can sit there. There's a fire. It's like, nothing to see here. Please disperse. Well, behind you, there's a big fire and fireworks going off. Yeah, no big deal. Please disperse. Yeah, exactly. Please remain calm. Yeah, no thanks to that. Other college basketball yesterday. A couple of games caught my eye. Gonzaga, who is just playing awesome right now, they took out Virginia, one of our favorite teams to go with. Gets a spread because Tony Bennett does nothing but play defense and just upset his opponents all the time. They blew out Virginia yesterday, 98-75. Gonzaga, an 8-point favorite in that game, which seemed like easy money to take Virginia. Oh, yeah, they fooled people like me. Gonzaga blew them out of the water. Best team in America right now, Gonzaga. Maybe Baylor's close, but it's Gonzaga all the way. Another game, number 23, Ohio State, lost at unranked, Northwestern. By 1 point. Northwestern now 3-0 in the Big Ten. They'll be ranked coming up this week. They pulled off another upset that we actually predicted last week on this show when they took out Michigan State. Talk about a fraud. Michigan State's starting to look like a fraud. Speaking of which, college basketball this week, let's look at some games. Our unranked trap specials. We're looking for unranked teams that will defeat ranked teams. Tomorrow night, number 12, Michigan State, the aforementioned, again, goes to Minnesota. And our good pal, Richie Pitino. We all love Richie Pitino around here, right? Well, look for Minnesota to take Tom Izzo out to the woodshed. We'll take Minnesota in that one, unranked Minnesota, to take down Michigan State, running their losing streak to 3 in that one. Tuesday night, number 21, Florida State, goes to Clemson. We'll take Clemson in that one. You talk about teams that have played tough schedules. Clemson has played a very tough schedule. They're going to take out Florida State. And our team of the week to fade in college basketball, the Missouri Tigers. Wednesday night, they're number 14 right now. Missouri is. They host number 8, Tennessee, on Wednesday night in the SEC lid lifter, as they say. Tennessee should go up there and take out Missouri. We'll take Tennessee in that one. And then on Saturday, Missouri goes to Arkansas. And Arkansas, we'll take Arkansas, the unranked Eric Musselmans. The guy who burns more bridges than anybody, but when he's the first couple years and when he's getting a job, oh, he's good. It's that fourth and fifth year when he just drives people crazy. He's still in the honeymoon stage. We'll take Arkansas to defeat Missouri this week. So look for number 14 Missouri to lose twice this week. You heard it here first on the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. But if you're sick of college basketball, let's get to where it really matters. College football. It's bowl season. Nothing says contrarianism like bowl season. Let's look at Kentucky first. They're a 2.5-point favorite against North Carolina State. Of course, Kentucky went 4-6 on the year, straight up, and against the spread. They went 6-4 to the under. North Carolina State, 8-3 on the season, an impressive 7-4 against the spread. They also went a majority of the time under. They went 6-4-1 to the under. North Carolina State won 8 games this season, but of course, the year before, last year, they went 4-8. So surely the Wolfpack would love to finish off with a bowl win this year, and please don't call me Shirley. Kentucky won 4 fewer games this series than the last season, but as we've documented on this show, it was because of the scheduling, taking away the cupcakes. But Big Blue Nation probably surprised to see the Cats in a bowl game, but guess which team is favored? Kentucky's favored. We talk about coaching experience in bowl games. This is Stoops' fourth. He's played 4 bowl games. North Carolina State coach Dave Doran has coached in 6, so that's a slight advantage to NC State. Many will wonder what Kentucky's doing in a bowl game anyway at 4-6, let alone being favored over 8-3 North Carolina State. North Carolina State's ranked number 23 right now. The old unranked trap, anytime you see the unranked team favored over the ranked team, you might want to lean to that unranked favorite. But that's the power of the SEC, is the odds makers don't hold the Wildcats' losses against Georgia, Alabama, and Florida against them. North Carolina State, despite their lofty record, also lost to bowl teams North Carolina, Miami, and they barely beat Liberty, who pulled off a miracle last night. They tried every way in the world to blow that game. Way to go, Hugh Freeze. Kentucky certainly would have been favored by more than 4 points against Liberty if they had played them. The odds makers have been pretty good at projecting Kentucky, though, when they're the better team. Kentucky is 15-4 straight up the last 19 times they've been favored. And under Stoops, Kentucky's made four bowl games. They were an underdog in all four of them. They covered three of those four and actually won straight up two of those four when they were underdogs. It looks like our old pal Terry Wilson, bottom line favorite, that he'll be leading the Kentucky offense that averages just 21.7 points a game. But again, that's in the SEC against the big boys, Georgia, Alabama, Florida. The Cats should have a lot more success against the Wolfpack that allowed 29.7 points per game this year. North Carolina State does come in on a four-game winning streak after a loss to Miami. However, they only went 2-2 in those games against the spread. In addition to failing to cover against Liberty, they didn't cover the back door against Syracuse in a game. And their quarterback, Bailey Hockman, is ranked a little higher on the list of Pro Football Focus than Terry Wilson is. Terry Wilson is 103rd on the list. Bailey Hockman of North Carolina State, 68. But this is a step back in class for North Carolina State, so it looks like the right team is favored here after all. This is not a game we'll put on our Mac Daddy Stogie list in terms of college football picks for the week. But we think North Carolina State probably wins the game. Not trying to be a hater of the Big Blue Nation. Just think North Carolina State wins the game. Not one to invest a whole lot of money in, if you ask us. But you, do what you will. I know the Big Blue Nation doesn't like to hear it when I pick against their beloved team. But there are times. Every dog has his day. But the college football playoffs, Notre Dame and Alabama will be playing in one game. Alabama, a 20-point favorite. Notre Dame, 10-1 on the season, but 5-6 against the spread. They went 6-5 to the other. Alabama, 11-0, 8-3 against the spread. Alabama was the only team in the playoff with a winning record against the spread this season. That makes you wonder, huh? They went 7-4 to the over. Alabama, number one, they have two Heisman Trophy favorites on their team, Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, and, of course, Nick Saban, who in bowl games against the spread, 9-8 against the spread. So it's not like he's cashed a whole lot of tickets for you. Notre Dame has a lot to prove after taking a 24-point loss to Clemson in the final game. It's easy to see why the Crimson Tide opened as a 20-point favorite, even though the game was moved from the Rose Bowl to Arlington, Texas. The Tide rolled the Fighting Irish 42-14 in the national championship 8 years ago. I can't believe that's already been 8 years ago. Alabama has won each of its 10 games by 15 points or more before outlasting Florida in the SEC championship game 52-46 in the SEC title game last weekend. Mac Jones lit up the place, and their running back scored 5 touchdowns, Najee Harris. Just another game for Alabama. Notre Dame was an 11.5-point underdog in the ACC championship game, but yet they still made the college football playoff anyway. That should tell you basically everything you need to know about this game. Of course, their quarterback, Ian Book, what does everybody say about him? Oh, he's got a 30-4 record as a starting quarterback. Well, good for him. Does he cover point spreads? Not as much. Is he going to cover this game? That's all we care about. We don't care if he wins. We just care if he covers that 20 points. This is a tough game for me to handicap. The over-under of this one is 65.5 right now. That seems right on the money. We'll say 40-26 Alabama, but it's not a game, another game, which we don't want to put a whole lot of our bankroll in, if you know what I mean. We'll have a few of those in just a minute because we have a few games here in the SEC, in the college football bowls that we really like. The other semifinal game, Ohio State, a 7.5-point underdog to Clemson. Ohio State, 6-0. If I told you on January 1st of this year, 2020, that a team with 6 wins would make it to the college football playoff, what would you have said? A lot of excuses to that one. Ohio State 3-3 against the spread, also 3-3 to the over, so nothing to win there. Clemson 10-1, 5-6 against the spread, 6-5 to the over. Notice how the only team to have a winning record against the spread was Alabama. Yeah, you lost money on all of Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Go figure. Eventful week for Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, dominant over Notre Dame, looked like the best player in America. He now is going to the Jaguars, it looks like, instead of the Jets. We'll see more about that later on the show. But the big thing here, a couple of things. Dabo Sweeney has caught our eye. Not only does he have a great record against the spread in these bowl games, he's 11-5 in these bowls, But he motivated Ohio State by ranking them 11th in his final coaches poll ballot behind Coastal Carolina, who lost to Liberty last night. If you don't think that's a factor in Ohio State trying to get fired up for this game, you don't pay attention to these things. We'll say 38-34 in this game. By the way, our favorite quarterback, Justin Fields of Ohio State, we thought was the most valuable player in college football this year, because if Ohio State had lost him, they would have been in a lot more trouble than Clemson was when they lost Trevor Lawrence. Basically, they didn't have anybody to back him up. Justin Fields did not play well. If you look at that Big Ten championship game, he was 12 of 27 for 114 and two interceptions. But Ohio State rallied to beat Northwestern in that one, thanks to their running back, who got 331 yards rushing. Yeah, way to go, Justin Fields. But look for Ohio State to show up in this one. You know why? Everybody's been telling them for the last couple weeks, oh, you don't deserve it. You didn't play enough games. We'll take Ohio State getting the points in this one. And that leads us to the rest of the bowls this week. How do you handicap bowl games? What are you looking for when you handicap bowl games? Well, first of all, you have to be an amateur psychologist. Which teams are excited to be there and which teams don't even care to be there? Tulsa, Army, TCU, Ohio State. They all have some psychological reasons to be there. Ohio State, we just told you why, thanks to Dabo Sweeney. Dabo Sweeney, we always look for dogs, because I can guarantee you every coach and player on that field knows who's favored to win and by how many, because they've had a couple of weeks to hear about it. And bowl games, along with the NCAA basketball tournament, the ultimate contrarian play. So we're looking for teams like Colorado, Missouri, Ohio State again, and yes, even North Carolina State. Distractions. Who has a new coach? Which teams have opted, a bunch of players have opted out? And this year, who's got COVID problems? Look at teams like Auburn, North Carolina, Miami, Ohio State. Keep an eye on those teams, what they do with their distractions. Coaching experience. Since 2015, or the last five bowl seasons, head coaches with an experience advantage in bowl games over the opponent have gone 110-79 against the spread. That's 59%. That's pretty good. And you always look for teams playing in their home state. In the last 5 years, those teams hit 60.4%, 32-21. So our handicapping bowl trends that we like to look at. We looked at the fade the public with the dogs since 2005. If you just take any underdog of a touchdown or less that's getting less than 33% of the public money, you cash your ticket 68.1% of the time. 49-23. That's very good. Who fits that this year? Wake Forest, Mississippi State, and Auburn. That's who we'll be going with in just a second. And the other trend that we love, bet against the dogs with low totals since 2005. If you take any underdog where the total is less than 55, that means the favorite is not really a high-scoring team, so that limits the factor that they'll go out and blow these teams out of the water. If you do those, the dog is getting less than 40% of the money in these games. Those dogs bark 59.8% of the time, 73 up, 49 down. Who fits this? Mississippi State, Auburn, Ole Miss. So there you go. Follow those two systems by taking the underdogs that the public doesn't like. And you'll always do very well in the bowl season. Heck, that works in the real world too. But that's another story for another day. So our bowl picks following our contrarian systems. Wake Forest getting 7 or 7.5 in Wisconsin. If you can't find 7.5, it's 7 a lot of places now. If you can't find 7.5, wait until closer to game time. This might tick up to 7.5. I would love to have 7.5. 7 is kind of a coin flip. Love to have that extra half point to cover that 7. Mississippi State getting 2.5 against Tulsa. We'll take Ole Miss getting 6.5 against Indiana. And we'll take Auburn getting 3.5 against Northwestern. And don't be afraid to sprinkle that money line on Auburn. They might just win this game straight up. Everybody's giving Northwestern a lot of credit for keeping it close with Ohio State. Yeah, Auburn will probably, wouldn't be shocked at all, they win this game straight up. So there you go. There's our bowl picks. Our Mac Daddy Stogie Bowl picks, Wake Forest, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Auburn. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up after the break, though, it's our most profitable segment of Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie picks. But first, St. John & Myers Jewelry, the best in the business at offering high-class jewelry here in Central Kentucky. Lewis and the staff at St. John & Myers, the perfect place to get your significant other what he or she deserves just after this holiday season and anytime. And if you order from their website, stjohnandmyers.com, use the code LM150 as a code, and you'll get $150 off any order. That's a great deal for the holidays or any time. So check out our friends at St. John & Myers Jewelry, stjohnandmyers.com, and tell them the bottom line sent you. Coming up after the break, the most profitable segment in Lexington, the Mac Daddy Stogies, right here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. We hope you had a good Christmas. And if you're a fantasy football player, your Christmas was awesome. If you own Alvin Kamara, 6 touchdowns. Because the most fantasy leagues, this is like Super Bowl week. This is it this week. And if you own Alvin Kamara or you were up against Alvin Kamara, your game has been decided already. So, yeah, depending on your ownership of Alvin Kamara, you either had a great Christmas or you hate him and will never enjoy him ever again. And you've got a voodoo doll sticking pins in him as we speak. But yeah, so congratulations to the Alvin Kamara owners. You are your fantasy football league champion. If you're not, well, if you have Alvin Kamara in your Super Bowl and you still lose this week, God bless you. That's all I got to say. But hey, last night, if you saw the football game last night, you talk about a gift from John Gruden. Frank Caliendo couldn't have done a better impression on the sideline. Why did they kick that field goal, just trying to run out the clock, kneel down on the ball, and kick a field goal? And of course, Ryan Fitzmagic himself pulls it out for the Dolphins, as only he can. Somehow, the best backup quarterback in the league. Now, how does he not start in week 17 and Tua starts next week? We'll see. We've got a controversy down in Miami. But yes, a gift, a Christmas gift, a late one, from John Gruden to you Miami Dolphin backers. The Raiders still covered the spread, but still, yeah. Why did they do that? I'm still mesmerized by that call. But let's get to today's action in the league where they pay for pay. I can't even say that right. Mike Francesa would throw me out of the studio right now. Thank you, Big Mike. The Bengals on our sister station, Classic Rock 92.1. The Bengals, 7-point favorites. Excuse me, 7-point underdogs. They're not favorite. 7-point dogs to Houston. Yeah, Ryan Finley just beat Pittsburgh last night. Well, thanks for playing. You're out. Brandon Allen's back in. This line now up to 7.5, by the way. I just checked it again. Yeah. Do you really want to trust Cincinnati after, on a short rest, coming off a game against Pittsburgh, big division rival? Now they travel to Houston, 7.5-point favorite, and Deshaun Watson, the third best quarterback in the league via Pro Football Focus. Yeah, the Bengals had the third worst record in the league, but hey, they're 8-5-1 against the spread. Last week was the first game they covered. Why is Ryan Finley not playing? That's going to be the question people are asking today. Texans, how can you take a 4-10 team that's a 7.5-point favorite in any game? But Cincinnati has some value this week. This is a game I'm going to stay away from. The Bengals will likely start Brandon Allen today. It looks like 100% he's going to go. But this is our soul-to-soul special. Back to life, back to reality, back to the here and now. Sean C., if you're listening, get that one into my rotation. We'll take Houston today, 26-17. Not a game that you're looking to make a lot of money off of. A couple that you are. Carolina, 1-point underdog at Washington. We still don't have official word on who the quarterback will be for Washington. It appears to be Dwayne Haskins. Do you trust him? No. Of course, I don't trust Alex Smith either, but who's counting? Teddy Bridgewater, the 29th best quarterback in the league. Alex Smith, 31st. Dwayne Haskins, the absolute worst. Panthers are 4-10, but 8-6 against the spread. So it's not like they've given up. They're actually making you money this year. While Washington, hail to the football team, they're also 6-8, but they're 8-5-1 against the spread. So you've got two overachieving teams here. Teddy Bridgewater, 7-3 against the spread in his starts this year. And in his career as an underdog, he's 24-6. Our trend in this one, road dogs in their second consecutive bad season. Oh, that's Carolina. When a road dog of a touchdown or less is a team that won 6 games or less the previous season, and the total is low, under the 50, that road dog hits 61.2% of the time. That's 227 up, 144 down. Give us the Panthers today. Straight up win. Don't be afraid to money line this one because we don't want the points. We don't need the points. We'll take the Panthers. The other game we like in the NFL today, Chicago at Jacksonville. Mike Glennon starting for the Jacksonville Jaguars today, who finally have the ticket to Trevor Lawrence. They'll never give this up. But Mitchell Trubisky, MVP Mitch, the 34th best quarterback in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. The Bears are 7-7, 7-7 against the spread, as middle of the road as you could get, although they started out 5-1. The Jaguars, though, 1-13 straight up, but 6-8 against the spread. They haven't been awful. Are the Jaguars going to give up now that they finally have Trevor Lawrence? I don't think so. We like to fade these steam moves. What's a steam move? It's a sudden and drastic uniform line movement across the entire sports betting marketplace. That's what happened yesterday as Jacksonville went from 7.5 to 8.5. Boom, just like that. When you see a dog of less than 2 touchdowns and they have a steam move of a point or more like Jacksonville did yesterday, fade the move. We're going to take Jacksonville. Give us that 8.5 points. We don't want the points. We don't need the points. Oh, yeah, we do. We'll take the points. Give us 8.5. Smelled a little Mike Glennon magic, backdoor cover style, down in Jacksonville today. So there you have it. Our two Mac Daddy Stogies in the NFL. We like Carolina straight up as the winner, as a dog in Washington. Hail to the football team. And we'll take those Mike Glennon-led Jacksonville Jaguars just to get the blood pressure up of the people in Jacksonville who are tempted by losing Trevor Lawrence. Close, but not so close. We'll take Jacksonville getting the points to keep it less than a touchdown margin. And those are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks for today. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up after the break, we'll get you ready for the day on ESPN Radio and some other headlines as we head into an NFL Sunday here in Week 16. But first, Clark's Auto Service, our good friends, Bill Clark, Ethan Hall. Clark's Auto Service services my cars, and they're old and broken down because they've been for a long time. But you know what? They run like a dream because Bill Clark and his staff got a hold of them, and now they just run great. ClarksAutoLexington.com to find out all the information on them. ClarksAutoLexington.com, the best car servicers in Lexington. I can promise you that. We'll get you ready for the day of NFL football here on ESPN Radio right after the break. Here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Burning down the house. That's what we're doing around here. Throwing all the conspiracy theories up against the wall and hoping some of them stick. A lot of people on us about being a comforting voice for the Big Blue Nation today. I don't think we succeeded in that. We just told it like it was. Don't shoot the messenger, ladies and gentlemen. We're just telling the truth here on ESPN Radio. And today, on the ESPN family of networks, it's a cavalcade of stars for the NFL Week 16. On our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock at 1 o'clock. The Bengals travel to Houston to take on the Texans. Houston, a 7.5-point favorite in that one. Big difference in quarterbacks in that game. At noon, here on ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5, it's the Colts and the Steelers. Big Ben in Pittsburgh, a 1-point favorite over Phillip Rivers and the Colts. It's still kind of weird to say that. 1.5 as we look at the updated odds here on our ticker. At 4 o'clock, the Rams and the Seahawks in Seattle. That's Russell Wilson and Jared Goff. Russell Wilson, a 1-point favorite in that one. And tonight, the Sunday night game here on ESPN Radio, Titans and Packers. Aaron Rodgers, 3-point favorite over Ryan Tannehill. Whispers of snow in the forecast. Ooh, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. It will be coming to life tonight as the Packers will take on the Titans. All that and much, much more. Make sure to listen to all the bowl games. So many bowl games this week on ESPN Radio. Make sure you check those out. I know ESPN Radio has contracts pretty much to all the bowl games, including the playoffs. So especially January 1st playoff day, make sure you tune in to ESPN Radio to get what you need out of those bowl games. Some headlines this morning. Urban Meyer apparently is going to some NFL teams have been eyeing him as a head coach. Do you really think his act is going to work in the NFL? Do you really think he can take it? Because allegedly he's had all these health issues, because that's why he quit Florida, because he had health issues, not because he couldn't beat Nick Saban. I think it was more that he couldn't beat Nick Saban. That's why he left Florida. Because when he lost to Nick Saban with Tim Tebow in his senior year, the writing was on the wall. Yeah, Nick Saban just couldn't beat Tebow, or excuse me, couldn't beat Saban. He wanted to get out of town. That's why he got to Ohio State. You think that's going to work in the NFL for him? Yeah, I'm not a believer. A lot of people are. I am not so much that he's going to bring this home. Another game last night we didn't talk about. The 49ers beat Arizona. You talk about a game that really hurts Arizona's chances to make the playoffs. Somehow, Arizona blew that game, a home game, and they lost to the 49ers. Revenge from a early week one game where Arizona went to San Francisco and won. Of course, back then it was Jimmy Garoppolo. Last night it was Bobby Bethard's son. But yeah, so it was very difficult for the Cardinals last night. Might have blown their playoff chances. But of course, another game yesterday, Tampa Bay beat Detroit 47-7. You talk about another one easy money that you could put that in your pocket and smoke it early. Tom Brady, yeah. That, why are the Lions, they didn't even have coaches yesterday. I think they had all their coaches went on COVID protocol too. So, yeah, why are we even bothering? That's the NFL. Make sure to tune in today to ESPN Radio for all the games we mentioned earlier. We want to wish everyone out there a very happy holiday and a very happy new year. We hope that 2021, well, we can't help but 2021 be better than 2020 in a lot of aspects. But we want to thank you for your listenership. We want to thank you for your positive feedback on Twitter and email and on all that stuff. We thank you very much. I know we're a different voice here in town, kind of tell it like it is, talk about little point spreads, gambling. We're very happy and very proud of this show. We put a lot of work into it, and we appreciate all the positive feedback we get from you guys out there. So thank you very much for listening, and we hope to hear you again in 2021. We'll see you next week. We will be here. Even Sean C., if he asks me if I want the day off, I'm going to say no way. We've got to talk to the Big Blue Nation. We'll see you next week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And make sure to listen all day to ESPN Radio. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.